You thought Millard, Kyprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Final show before the National Hockey League trade deadline. Hockey Central trade deadline on Sportsnet. 8 a.m. on Monday, 5 a.m. Pacific time. The deadline is at 3 o'clock Eastern. We'll be providing day-long coverage on Sportsnet. Here in Hockey Central studio, Darren Millard along with PJ Stock and Colby Armstrong, a couple of former National Hockey League players who have been through the NHL trade deadline. Colby, you were traded at the deadline or right before. Yeah. PJ?
Look at PJ's mic.
My mic is full.
Never trade the deadline. I was traded, though. It wasn't a comment all that much to the fourth line guy. That wasn't as much of the Claude Lemieux type fourth line guy. Well, he wasn't a fourth line guy, but the guy that was actually, it's compared to a grocery stick in the mall when between that separates the food.
Mm-hmm. Those don't get traded.
We don't get traded all that often on trade deadline day. What a move yesterday.
Plenty to get to.
Oh, my Lord.
Along with the action on the ice and Montreal with a big win, and Andrew Hammond has become just a marvelous story with the Ottawa Senators, but two significant deals. A future Hall of Famer dealt from New Jersey to Florida. That one caught our attention and a lot of people off guard. Didn't see Florida involved in that one. And then Dave Nonis and Jarmo Kekäläinen of the Columbus Blue Jackets and Toronto Maple Leafs, respectively, hook up on a deal that on the surface blew everybody's mind. One guy's not playing in Nathan Horton. The other guy has absolutely
like out of
fizzled,
nowhere, though,
fizzled
hey?
With David Clarkson. Your takes on it?
Well, I think it's getting a lot of positive play in the Montreal media and a lot of people in Montreal. Sorry, in the Toronto media. And I really think that I look at it and everyone's making it sound like Dave Nonis was brilliant at the way he was able to move this contract. No one's reminding everyone that he did sign this contract. So he's more or less just fixing a mistake that he made. And now you're pretty much just paying $5 million away to...
It was a buyout.
It was a buyout on a team that's rebuilding to create cap space. But really, if you're rebuilding, you're not going to be using that cap space. So I know everyone's given a ton of credit, and I understand it. But at the same time, if the team's in a rebuilding mode, and if you say it's going to take a couple of years, you just created cap space, which is great, which you don't need. But I do understand the fact that you moved a contract. So you're paying $5 million a year for no one to play. To create cap space for a team that doesn't really need cap space right now because – they're in a rebuilding process.
So, they may in 3 years, though.
Can you imagine
that's where you'll
going
feel
in?
The significance of it.
Going in and like, hey guys, remember that guy I signed that we're not really happy with a couple years ago? We're going to. Can you imagine? That's like a skit. That's like a Saturday Night Live skit. Like, I just can't believe that happened.
Well, when you get right down to it, it's as far as the impact on the hockey clubs, the two hockey clubs, it's a very minor deal. There's not a lot of significance. Psychologically, I think, to the Leaf fan base and David Clarkson himself, this is a big deal. One, the Leaf fan base sees change. Two, Clarkson gets a restart.
Well, yeah, I can relate on the personal level to Clarkson, obviously. I think I made half as much as he did. But
you still made that much?
Yeah.
You were that overpaid?
Yeah, absolutely. But I went in there, though, with the expectations, the pressure. I care. You don't want to let the team down. You don't want to let the organization down. You did a certain job for a team and then got that contract for what you did on that team. And then you come in and it's kind of like, it's using a totally different role. He came in third line. You know, things didn't go good. You put pressure on yourself. It starts to escalate and snowball. Next thing you know, your confidence is completely blown. He cares so much. You can tell by the way he plays. He wears his heart on his sleeve out there. And I mean, this is probably the guy he is in the room. I never played with him, but the pressure that you put on yourself can be, I wish they had a guy that would come and go, hey, you know what, David, we really wanted you. We had to overpay to get you, but we don't expect you to do this. Like, just, you know, right when you come in, like, have a mind melt guy in there just to, like, settle his brain down.
Sports psychologist.
Yeah, sports psychologist to say, hey.
And we don't know that they didn't do that.
Tell David that we don't care about that stuff. We just wanted him here.
I think it was easy. I think it was the easy thing to do in this city when the team is struggling to pick at the reasons why it is struggling. David Clarkson was the whipping boy pretty much for the last couple of years because of the contract. There was other teams willing to give him that money. So as much as...
Teams offered him more money.
He came back home. There were so many warts on this team, but when you're in a salary cap era, some of them point to financially more than other stuff. You know, David Clarkson, before the season even started, gets suspended 10 games. Before his career with the Leafs. So that turned a lot of people off, you know, and that's kind of, I mean, I can go up and down this roster. David Clarkson financially per goal was a mistake. And GMs think, he's the biggest UFA in the summer. I have to sign him. Offensively, he was a mistake. His work ethic and want, as you just said, was always there. That is the one thing you constantly ask for as a coach, a player, a teammate, a fan. There are players that the work ethic and want isn't there, and they get a bye way too often in this city because maybe they don't make as much or make more, whatever. I think David Clarkson was an easy whipping boy because of the contract, which other teams were giving him, which he didn't hold a gun to anyone's head to sign, and now he's gone, and the Leafs are paying $5 million a year to fix it.
But if you can afford to spend that money, it's a good deal for your organization.
Well, I think what they really looked at, they could afford to spend that, I mean, on the trade right now or when they signed him.
Right now.
Right. Well,
you get rid of a stigma.
It is. In a rebuilding time, I understand it but don't understand it, is you've created cap space. It's all that you've done. Yes, you can do it because you make so much
money. You've done more
than
that. You've done more than that, PJ. Okay, you've got a guy out of that room who was crushed by the pressure and couldn't perform and was a $5 million player who was a healthy scratch, and you needed to, if you're going to overhaul this organization and this dressing room, you had to make that work.
Fair. That is very fair.
Does it stop there?
It can stop there. I mean, if that's the guys that they've gotten rid of right now, Santorelli, Franzen, Winnick, and Clarkson, all four of them probably were the four hardest working guys on the team. That's not the problem. It's the other guy. They were the easy ones to move because other teams want them.
All new guys in the last year.
That's not the issue. I understand the Clarkson one. The Clarkson move, I do understand. He was brought in to be part of that core, just didn't fit in with that core. You guys have to fix that core in this city. That is the issue. They're also on terrible contracts a la Clarkson.
Can you trade Dion for Chris Pronger?
That's kind of... You know, it is amazing what teams in this financial situation can do. The Leafs are paying $5 million a year for no one to play. Like, that is... First
they did
of
that
all,
to me, too.
In Yarmouk... well...
Not that much money, but...
The situation in Columbus wasn't much smarter. You go and sign a player at all that money and you don't insure it.
There's rationale behind that.
Okay, but there's still...
They took a risk.
They took a risk. It's a risk that you signed someone long-term
and
with that much money.
It was a limited risk because he was only going to play half the year coming off the surgery on his shoulder. And they got burned. They admit they got burned. Now, what does David Clarkson
look at Jeff Finger? Look at the Leafs are in such a money power position. It's nothing. It's like nothing. Mm-hmm. Just sign a guy. He has like a couple bad games or a bad year. Boom, send him to the minors.
Michael Komisarek. I mean, these happen every year. I like the fact that they're saying this year, you know what? Let's really try and blow this up, admit our faults, and move forward. There are so many still unanswered questions with this organization. You know, I don't think they have a number one goalie, even though Jonathan Bernier was unbelievable last night. I don't think they have a number one centerman. I don't think they have a number one defenseman. Those are three of the most important positions on the team, starting with the goaltender. And I don't think they have number ones there anywhere. I think they have a coach who's kind of in a tough position. I think they have two assistant coaches that weren't hired by the coach. They were hired by the management. I think the management, who's pretty much on his last legs here, has been doing some brilliant stuff come trade deadline day, come by Monday. The president, don't want to say anything about Brendan because it's under him, but doesn't have experience in this position either. There are so many warts with this team right now. Everyone's so excited over this Clarkson deal. I just think if you go back the last 5 years, 10 years, it has just been. I don't see how it's a happy day. I think it's just a camouflage.
I'm just thinking something. Like, is Toronto like a place where guys don't want to go now?
Like, it is.
You try to sign guys like you have
on the
to overpay
poll
for.
That ESPN did. It was number five.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we are in the media business.
We expose.
We are part of the problem in this city. We are very much part of the problem in the city. I also live in Montreal and do the media in Montreal. It is what makes these two cities special. At the same time, it is also what hurts these cities.
Yeah.
We are so focused.
But based on that logic, Clarkson goes to Columbus and becomes the player that he was in New Jersey.
Probably. You know what? He will have a bad game, and he'll be able to go to dinner after the game and someone not sitting at the bar having too many cocktails, yelling out how much he stunk that night.
Did that happen to you?
No, I was always awesome.
I remember.
I go out after a show. I go out after working on Sportsnet here, and I have people telling me that they don't like this. They don't like they don't like what Darren said. They don't like what Colby said. PG, I disagree with you here. I'm sitting down my shows. I don't go to someone else's job and feel like I have the right to tell them what to do, but we are in this position. They don't like what I wore. They don't like how I said this.
If you and Mel went out for dinner in Toronto when you were a Maple Leaf?
I got treated pretty good by the people and the fans here. I had tough injuries, and our team wasn't that great, but I got treated pretty well around town. I never got abused, but I remember talking about the pressure and feeling it and in the media all the time and David Clarkson, what he's going through. I remember playing in Pittsburgh at one time. I was playing along with Crosby. I was struggling to score. I remember physically throwing up before I went to practice after a game if we'd lost or I didn't play good. I was so scared I was going to get sent to the minors all the time throughout my entire career if I had a bad game. But I was just that pressure that you put on yourself. I can imagine what he was feeling here on a day-to-day basis, flipping on the TV, watching the highlights. You know, he was constantly under the gun all year long.
On a hockey impact scale, 1 to 10, I've said it's a 2, the Clarkson 4 Horton deal. Where do you slot it in?
I give it a 10 for Clarkson.
I think
personally,
everyone in this media market here is making it sound great because they've cleared up cap space. But myself, if
and
I
you
look
got
at
rid
the,
of the unmovable contract.
Unmovable contract. But, and you're right, it's not today that it makes a difference. It's 3 years down the line that it's going to make a difference. But for me, it's...
Now, what's going on in that Maple Leaf dressing room today, tomorrow, and Sunday? When, as one player told me, Dave Nonis pulled off the deal of the century. That's a player inside that dressing room. So are they looking around really concerned that they're next? Or are they hoping that they're next?
They're hoping
you
got
to hope.
So Dion, Phil, Joffrey, Tyler Bozak?
Listen, the deal of the century has to do because also, forget about the contract, David didn't fit in. Mm-hmm. That's the other issue that we have to really understand. And I don't know him really enough to say why he didn't fit in, but he also didn't fit into that team. He didn't fit into that. He didn't mesh, and that happens. So a lot of us have different personalities. That you go to a team, you're 20 people or 23, and you're forced. You're just thrown together every day in a dressing room, every day on a plane, every day. You're every day together. Sometimes, a lot of times, some pieces don't mix. How you are able to make do on your day to day lives kind of make it easier on yourself or harder on yourself. Dave did not fit in.
But Bozak, Dion, Joffrey, Phil, they do fit in. To different levels.
I think they keep each other happy and that is why this team is where it is. I don't
think... So you think they want to be traded?
Well,
I got to see one of them. I got to see one of those guys.
Management's really serious,
yeah,
about
if they're
this,
serious about a rebuild, like those are the guys that when I was there, these guys are the core guys. These guys have been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So if they want to do something, like that's one of the guys you got to see something happen. For me,
Clarkson is window dressing.
Yeah,
it's not going to fill you up. It's an appetizer. It doesn't. It's not the meal. It looks nice. It's got some sizzle to it, but I need to see more from the Toronto Maple Leafs this weekend or Monday to let me know that you can really do this.
Yeah. I don't want to give up on Phil Kessel. I think the problem with Phil Kessel is that he is also one of those guys that kind of fits in, doesn't fit in that mesh of 22 guys.
I think he's a draft trade, if anything. I wouldn't move him at the deadline.
He gets you 30 goals a year. Last night summed up Phil Kessel.
Vintage Phil Kessel.
Invisible, skates down the wing, lets a snapshot go because he doesn't want to cut to the net because he doesn't want to get it. I mean, it's like he should lower his shoulder, go to the net, but he stays outside, lets a snapshot go with breakaway speed, and that is such a goal scorer's goal. There's not many guys that can do it.
He's got a better chance of scoring from that spot than he does if he takes it to the net with his release.
With his release, probably. Yeah. You'd like to see him drive. I know what he's doing, though. Everyone in the rink knows what he's doing. He is not cutting to the net ever, 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 ever. And he's going to take that snapshot and pull out.
So that's a long time.
Yeah, he's going to pull out every time. He's going to come and take the shot and kind of peel out to the right to the timer so he doesn't have to be involved in physically. That's fine. Keep him as an extra piece. He's going to score you 30. You can't buy goals. Everyone's mad at David Clarkson because we're looking at his point totals versus the amount of money he made. Phil Kessel, you have to blow up the rest of this. You have to blow up the rest of the names that you guys just said. And you don't have to blow up all of them. You have to blow up enough of them and bring in people that aren't satisfied with players taking slap shots at my captain. You have to be not so intimidated by the media. You have to be able to stand up in that locker room and say, I'm willing to get my face beat up for our overall goal. I'm willing to block a slap shot with my chest for the overall goal of this team. There's way too much in this team, laissez-faire, guys letting do whatever they want on a night-to-night basis. A guy turned around and took a slap shot at Sidney Crosby when you were in Pittsburgh. How many guys would have jumped?
You got to.
No, but how many would have?
I think everybody
on the ice
would have. The trainers,
everybody would have jumped.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have stopped just there either. It would have continued shift after shift.
And it would have. And the next time you play them, and the next time you play them, until finally.
I don't want to get distracted by this, but does that say as much about Dion as it does
core
the core of the team?
All of them. It does. There's no, and I don't know why you talked about. This is like a monologue here. I'm going on too long.
You're ready to go before the show.
You
were ready.
It's too easy. I understand the first time someone took a slap shot at Dion, but the second time when Eric Staal turned around and teed up a one-timer at an empty net on him, and then after he took the shot, he turned around and pretty much stares down Dion Phaneuf. Your team's losing. You're in last place. I'm not saying jump the boards like Clarkson, but someone better kick the snot out of this guy.
That to me, the second time, was the moment that I said, he's got to go.
Not only that.
Dion, we have to get him out. If they're not willing to go to bat for him, and he's the captain,
There was a worse moment, actually. Like, the slap shot thing is really, really
obvious.
Watch
this. Turn around. I'm noticing the radio for people watching on TV. Turn around. Look, watch it. Turn around and say, hey, you know what he just said? Suck on that. That's exactly what he just said. And the fact that Dion didn't go after him, the fact that Dion has to stand up for himself first off. That's the first problem. He doesn't stand up for himself, so the other guys don't stand up for him.
I'm going to go back to the Clarkson-Horton deal. It's Darren Millard along with PJ Stock, who's stealing the show, and Colby Armstrong.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're not sorry.
I had a couple coffees this morning.
You're hyper. I don't know why you're hyper today compared to other days, but you're hyper. Clarkson for Horton. A lot of talk about this trade. There's a lot of spice around this deal. The untradeable contract is moved. And I think in 24 hours, Leaf fans are going to wake up and go, so what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything. Really, it doesn't mean anything. So I truly believe there has to be more to this for Leaf management if you want to give the fans a sign that there's a true rebuild going on.
Okay, don't play the host. Play the disgruntled PJ or Colby.
But
give me your where are you? Who's next You watch every who do they have to get rid of?
You have to get rid of one of those four.
Who? No, I want you to tell me who you want to get rid of.
I would
watching this team every day like you do, and you watch them all. You know what's going on. I know you're the goalie, big time goalie.
I would trade Dion if you can work out a trade, and they've been talking to teams, ad nauseum, and Dion's been a big part of those conversations. I think Dion, if you're going to change the culture, you trade that captain. And I also believe that if you want to make things better, you want to unload contracts, Joffrey Lupo's contract has to go. And there's teams interested in both of those guys right now. Phil Kessel, I wouldn't trade until the draft. And Bozak, I would move. But it's not a priority for me. But Joffrey Lupo and Dion Phaneuf, I would be doing whatever I can to trade those two contracts at the trade deadline.
To the defense of Dion Phaneuf, he comes back after his hand injury last night, gets a goal, plays 25 and a half minutes, mm-hmm. and they beat the Flyers. Mind you, the goalie's still on his head, but you know, he has an impact on the team when he's in the lineup, as bad as the Leafs are.
Do you not remember what we were just talking about 3 minutes ago?
I do, but
it's just one night.
But it's, if they're going to trade him, it's I think it's great, good for the Leafs, and I think it's good for Phaneuf. Like, it doesn't matter.
They have to create. Unfortunately, he's at the top of this because he wears the C, and for radio, you missed it, but on the TV side of it, we just showed two episodes of people taking slap shots at your captain. He doesn't stand up for himself, and it's contagious. It's a snowball effect throughout that lineup. Not only does he not, I don't want to say this because I don't want to come out aggressive sounding about Dion. I'm just saying that sometimes as the third, fourth line guy, the fifth, sixth defenseman, you see the top guys getting away with stuff because they can, because you understand what they do night after night. But you still need to understand that we're all on the same page and the same goal, and we all need to respect each other. And the first thing starts off with, we got to respect ourselves for us to be doing our job, which is blocking the shots, getting in the fights, mm-hmm. sticking up from. You have to respect yourself enough for us to want to respect you back. And that's kind of part of the jam that Dion kind of is in. I think he came in to this team, and he would have been a great player if he didn't have all the pressure of the captaincy on him. That is the issue on this team. I think he's fine where he is. You know, I don't think he's number one defenseman. He would be a great, I think, you know, him and Franzen would have been a good group if they had some time, you know, together.
Yeah.
If they weren't all the pressure of the captaincy on him.
Where could you see him going?
You know what? He has to go out west.
He has to go to LA.
He has to go out west where he's surrounded with other defensemen, and his one job is to be a bigger body, shot-blocking, kind of penalty-killer guy. And he has the toughness of the team around him to let Dion play his game. That is the issue with this team. If I'm playing against Toronto, I absolutely – I can say it because I did this on the other teams. I am not scared of one individual on this team at all.
No intimidation.
Zero intimidation whatsoever. Going back to our time in Boston, we had guys like PJ Axelsson and Sergei Samsonov, and these are guys that you didn't want to see them ever fight.
I tried to fight PJ Axelsson once. Yeah, I called him on. He didn't want to go.
You didn't want to go. But you
maybe
know,
it was a good thing for me. I don't know. Maybe you could chuck him.
He couldn't.
Well, me neither, but I don't know. It might have been a good one.
He had kind of legs like this microphone right here. But what a great guy was. But the fact
you were like swimming the 400 individual medley. When you were fighting.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Arms everywhere. It was bad. It was just awful. Flailing. Exhausted after hands hurting from squeezing so tight, hanging onto the guy's jersey.
And tired. Help!
I'm done. Liney, get in.
But the fact that every now and then those guys would take it's not a selfish penalty. It's a penalty that you have to take every now and then to tell everybody else, like, kind of, listen, I'm not going to fight you, but if you push me around. And I know I hate going back to this old school way of thinking, but you have to do something a little bit out of the normal, whichever way that you can, that show that you're frustrated, but you're not going to be pushed around.
But it's an old saying in a room, pack mentality, team toughness. Now they talk about,
but there's no pack mentality with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And that's the issue.
It's like zombies out there.
Because whatever the head wolf, the mama wolf, the king, queen bee, whatever it is, unfortunately doesn't send that message to everybody. And that's the issue with this team.
It's a two-man wolf pack.
We're three-man wolf pack right now.
I was thinking Kessel and Bozak.
What movie?
Hangover.
Oh, I was just checking.
Oh, testing me, hey?
I was just checking. Good You're test. New guy.
You just call it waking up, though. One other side story to last night. Zach Sill joins the Toronto Maple Leafs. And this is just pure curiosity from a guy that's not in an NHL dressing room and hasn't been between those walls. Zach Sill was known for going after Dion Phaneuf.
What a and mic'd up clip.
Yeah. So what's it like when those two become teammates? Dion said things. Dion said all the right things yesterday.
I remember playing against PJ and of his career in the minors. He didn't really chirp that much, but he was just, we knew who he was, you know, so he didn't really have to. He played in the NHL. I hadn't yet to have a game, but I was like the guy like chirping and stuff all the time. And then when I got traded to Atlanta, like talk about like, I walk into a room, I'm a pretty talkative guy, I get along with everyone. That's kind of my thing. That's like being out of the game right now. It's probably the only thing I really miss is hanging out in the room for 3 hours a day, you know? But you walk into that room and as outgoing and like as I am in the room, I walked in there and I was just like, hey guys, like I was literally chirping you last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know? So it is kind of like a weird thing, but at the same time, you walk in there, all the hockey guys are awesome. Like I remember like playing, like, I hate this guy. Next thing you know, I'm playing on his team. Nicest guy in the world.
So was there a guy in Atlanta that you beaked that you had to figure out a way to
I beaked to everyone, but I beaked a guy, probably stupid on my part, Eric Bolton. I'd chirp him and stuff here and there.
So what was he's it like when
he's a heavyweight fighter. When I rolled in there, he's like the character in the dressing room. Like this guy's a beauty in the room. So as soon as it was nothing. It was like water in the bridge.
Zero.
No big
what
deal.
What about you? What do you think happens between Sill and Phaneuf?
Nothing. I think they kind of ignore it. You ignore it and you just
laugh about asking it. All about it.
You understand it. The guys don't talk about it.
I remember they don't talk about the Leafs in Atlanta and I skated by. I was like running around and I skated by the bench and Hunter, the assistant coach, just starts going after me like, oh, we're going to get you. He's the only guy yelling at me and I'm like chirping him back. And then like literally the next year I signed with the Leafs and I get in there and Hunter's like nicest guy ever.
I think that's the hardest part. I think it's just as players when the coaches are yelling at you and they're giving you the ears. I think, I grew up in Montreal and one of my favorites was Larry Robinson and I'm fighting Turner Stevenson right in front of the bench of the New Jersey Devils. This is when I'm with Philadelphia. And Larry Robinson is screaming at Turner Stevenson to kick my butt. Like it was just, get that little and hit him here. And I'm like, hey. You know, in the middle of me being knocked out, I'm like, hey, Larry. I think that's the hardest part on your ego. I think but I think you take any player, put them in a locker room. I think they all, I'm going back to funny enough, you all get along or at least try to fit in. Though Clarkson, I guess, when you heard someone repeat that earlier today, as they've known as pulled off the trade of the century, I guess not all the bodies kind of fit in.
Darren Millar, PJ Stock, and Colby Armstrong. Final thought on the trade. This is a tweet from Michael Leal. At Darren Millar, at the start of the season, your panel embraced that Toronto was getting away from fighting. Now you're bashing them for the same thing. I don't think that's the case.
We're talking about team toughness.
Sticking up for each other. Not having a guy just to go out there.
And that's the way the game's gone now, too. So
I understand how you might interpret it that way, but that's certainly not what we meant. When we take a break, we'll come back with the three stars, plus one of the great stories in the National Hockey League. One is coming from Minnesota, the other one from the Ottawa Senators. And do they have a chance? Update you on what happened last night in the Western Conference playoff race. And there was another trade yesterday involving a first ballot Hall of Famer. Does it make sense? Kind of caught everybody off guard. It's Hockey Central leading up to the trade deadline on Monday on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks and the NHL Network in the United States.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here we are in Hockey Central, Darren Millard with PJ Stock, and, well, that's it. Oh, no, Colby Armstrong is here. He just wasn't allowed to talk in the first segment. Colby, turn on your microphone and we'll be able
to hear. Is it on?
There it is.
Thank you.
That's why we couldn't hear you. That's another reason.
I'm sitting over here like all worried that like my hair looks bad, but it doesn't really matter.
Don't worry.
I think my hair is good.
I'm back. What do you guys want to talk about now?
Did you get that off your chest?
I did.
Okay.
I love Twitter.
There was a second trade yesterday. Actually got us started on the day as we work our way towards the NHL trade deadline, Hockey Central trade deadline on Sportsnet on Monday, day-long coverage. And it involved Jaromir Jagr. The day after he went off and said, I don't want to be around here at all because I'm not going to get any ice time. And if the Devils are out of contention, they're just going to ignore me and I don't want anything to do with that. He is traded to the Florida Panthers. Now, Florida's made a push here. Last night didn't go perfectly for them, but
they're within
a couple of points. But Jaromir Jagr joins the Florida Panthers.
Think about this for Jagr. That's awesome.
You hear his quote from like 92 or 93. I just trade me to a place with beaches and girls.
There you go.
I've got two rings. I don't need any more rings.
I see him on Twitter. You're just talking about Twitter. You ever seen all those like throwback pictures of Jagr? And like his like, doesn't he have like an Instagram where he like takes unbelievable pictures of himself? He's like chilling in the weight room, like one old school one holding a cat with like his mullet just ripping.
I don't mind that trade. I just think it's
totally blew through his.
Yeah,
he's not even thinking.
I'm not. I'm just thinking how we get back to yelling about the Leafs. a second and a third is a lot to give up for a 43-year-old, but
43-year-old rental.
Rental. Well, you know, before Jagr signed his contract, his most recent one, they tried to sign him in Florida. So they do have a little bit of history there. You know, you look at an older player and a team that really doesn't have a big future in New Jersey. And Florida, I think it might be the team in 2 years from now. Their youth is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And their youth is huge. I mean, that Ekblad is going to be he is a stud already. He's 19.
Barkov.
Oh, they're Bukes dad. They're going to be fantastic. I can see them bringing in a veteran presence who is now a workout fiend, Jagr is, to teach the young guys, help make a run. But it might only be a short, you know, few months where they have Jagr. This team, I think they are destined to make the playoffs. I don't think Boston losing their number one center in the way they've been playing is going to slide in there.
Well, who do you like with Jagr in Florida and Boston's current situation? And we expect Boston to make some moves.
Florida. I do. Boston lost their number one center. It's so hard to replace that. It's your number one center who takes a lot of big faceoffs. Puts Patrice Bergeron, who's in that shutdown second guy role, probably the best in the league, to be the top offensive guy as well. So that's a tough situation for Boston, and they've been holding on all year. It's that core, I think, is has aged rapidly as well.
Do you think it helps them pass Boston though? Here, looking at the standing,
yeah,
like Jagr is going to help them pass Boston.
I think that team in general is.
I wonder if Boston was trying to get Jagr.
Well, I'm sure to get a second and a third, that price was driven up. Actually, I think the Winnick trade actually kind of set the tone of what kind of guys are going to be worth. But Jagr's a guy that comes in. He can give you that instant offense, not the Phil Kessel quick on your stick, but he's a good leader, doesn't have the speed. I think that's probably why I didn't see him fitting in too much with the Montreal Canadiens. And he's not as fast as he used to be, but he's great off the cycle, down low, with his big arms, big legs, big butt to create space and spin off. So I can see
the ankle weights.
Yeah.
I can see
ankle
him working out well.
But you put him, like you said, you put him with guys that can cycle, guys can play that, I guess it's kind of old school hockey now, give and go style of game, coming out of the corners, that 10-foot game that, you know, is kind of unseen right now. But that thing, kind of like what Williams does in L.A., that little, he obviously is way bigger and controls the puck. But you put him with guys that can play and think the way that Jagr does, he's going to help that team. That's what he does. But you put him with guys that are just flying around up and down the ice, it's to a whole nother ball game for Jagr, the way
top
he skates.
Top team in the Eastern Conference, you're listening, by the way, to Darren Millard, PJ Stock, and Colby Armstrong on Hockey Central at noon, is the Montreal Canadiens, who won again last night. How was Devontae Smith-Pelly?
Yeah, he looked good first game. They had him in the third line. Came in, obviously, you know, he's just going to run around and create energy. And, you know, he had some good shifts, created scoring chances with Preston on the forecheck, banging bodies. Later in the game, they got a lead, and they moved him around in the lineup, got some power play time. So I think for his first game, he's got to be pretty happy. Played 17 minutes, which I don't know how much he's played all year long, if that's probably the most he's played this year, I'd probably imagine.
Ideally, that's the position that he should be in.
Yeah.
For him to be a successful hockey player, for me, you know, 6 foot, but 220, doesn't have the wheels to stay up on the top couple lines. And I'm happy they didn't put him there to make him look a little bit out of place in his first game. They put him in a position where, listen, we just want you to go out there, get the puck deep, throw some checks. And then, you know, when the team got the lead, then they start giving him the cookies. Then they start putting him on with the offensive players. And that's where you kind of like...
Feeling him out.
Things start to feel a little bit better. Yeah. So, you know, you have players that get you to the playoffs, then you have players that get you through the playoffs. And the Canadians have a team that, because of Carey Price, can get to the playoffs. I don't think they had the team to get through the playoffs. Adding players like Smith-Pelly is one of those, like I said, 6 foot 220 players that can help you get through the playoffs.
P.K. Subban's revival of his game from the start of the season to the All-Star break and now has continued its ascent, but a +5 last night. He and Andrei Markov were both +5. P.K. with 1 and 2, and he's up there with the leaders in defensive offensive performance right now. And it's been a really interesting example of a guy not getting frustrated with his game and being able to turn around a season that did not go the way he wanted it to for the first couple of months.
I think Michel Therrien deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah.
I really think he's done amazing things. Carey Price, at the beginning of the year, saved a lot of mistakes, and he does all the time. But this might sound off, but P.K. Subban, for me, is having a better year than when he won the Norris. I don't think he should have won the Norris, though he did. I think he is having a better year as a complete defenseman. I think he's better defensively. He doesn't feel like he has to. You know, he gets the puck.
He's quieter.
He's quiet. Well, you know what? The Bell Center used to, every time he touched the puck, they chant his name. And you were there, of course.
It was unbelievable. He picked it up, hey?
He felt like he had to.
Yeah.
I think he felt like, and he'd make plays where instead of making the first simple pass to the forward standing still, moving up and down the wing, he'd carry it to the blue line and then give it to the guy as the forward standing still. PK simplified his game, playing better defensively, and I think he's better than the year he won the Norris. And he's getting points without having to do all that flash. And I think at the end of the day, we all want points. It does make us feel better.
Points are easy for Subi. I'd imagine he probably feels pretty good about the +5. Rather than the points. Points are easy for him. But when he's playing solid like that, and I know from when I got in there day one, Subi came in on the holdout for his contract and came in, and, you know, Therrien's trying to mold him into this player that he can be. And I've seen him do it with Malkin. I've seen him do it with other young players in Pittsburgh. And he was hard on him to buy in and hard on him to kind of play that quieter game that he's doing right now. And you don't notice him as much this year, but quietly... For P.K. Subban, quietly, having a pretty good year.
It is a little different.
Yeah, especially you look at Barkov also. Like, talk about yin and yang, those two guys. I mean,
26 minutes for P.K. again. Time for the Hockey Central 3 Stars.
You want
to... No, I just want to listen to the music.
You want to do mine?
Can we just listen to the music?
I'm going to go first. Andrew Hammond, Ottawa Senators.
Oh, shocker.
Are they back in it? I don't know. They are right now 5 points out in the Eastern Conference in that wild card spot. But they've gone to California, and they've had a good road trip. They're getting perfect goaltending from a guy that nobody, with all due respect, nobody had heard of.
They're sniffing.
A couple of weeks ago. And this is, it's incredible. The way he battled for his first win, and was pressured, and now putting up shutouts, they're in it. I don't know how active Brian Murray is going to be. He's got some pieces that he can sell off. I don't think there's a lot of addition going on there, but great excitement for the Ottawa Senators. PJ.
Well, Dave Nonis is my star. Only because it gave me a half hour of things to rant about on the radio today.
History. The first general manager to be named a star at Hockey Central.
So, Dave Nonis, enjoy your day. Congratulations.
And my star is P.K. Subban. 3 points, +5. We talked about what he's been doing for the team, the way he played last night, the way he's been playing all year, but what he did for his team last night, he's pretty impressive, his all-around game.
Now, PJ didn't let you talk a lot during the first segment. What was it like, because you can bring it with as much as anybody, what was it like with you and PK in the same room?
He's actually pretty dialed in before a game. He's more like, you know, like jumping around and doing like his little stuff, you know. But like, I was more of a talker in the room more than him. We weren't really battling for that.
The one thing that gets PK going is, and I don't like these shows, but I do like these shows. If I was a player, I wouldn't like them. The Canadians have a 24CH.
Yeah,
you know, the behind behind the B in Boston. I know there's a bunch of shows that have that, and it's some players don't like the camera. Some players or people like it more than others.
I liked it there.
Well, you did. I know. It was like, but he tries sometimes to always get to that camera, and it might throw other players a little bit off. Some that's kind of, you're under a microscope in those cities. That's what we talked about. So some people like it, some people don't. I think
I love his personality. I think it's great for hockey, good for Montreal. I loved him.
In the Western Conference, the San Jose Sharks are 3 points out of a playoff spot. Calgary Flames drop back out because of action last night as Minnesota vaults back in with 71 points for the second wild card spot. And Los Angeles occupies the third seed in the Pacific Division right now with those 29 wins, but lose to Ottawa 1-0. Vancouver also falls last night. So to Buffalo, and that's, boy, talk about things that you may look back on and be costly. A loss to the Buffalo Sabres. Teams that we haven't heard from yet. It's Hockey Central trade deadline on Sportsnet on Monday morning. Teams in the Western Conference particularly that we haven't heard from yet. And we're waiting to see what they do. The San Jose Sharks would be right there. Battling for a playoff spot. But also, this is a team that is expected to make a run. What do you think they need more than anything at the trade deadline?
They're always expected to make a run, it seems.
Right.
I don't know what's happening to them right now. What... I can fix that.
Yeah, I know.
They've cut some good players.
I'm tough with San Jose. I think they're in a bit of a... I think, again, they're a weird organization, the way they take their captaincy off players, give it back to them, take the assistant. It's been, you know, 5-6... Patrick Marleau was captain. It was taken away. Assistant captain, taken away. Put back on. It's a... I think...
They need something right now, though. They need
the spark.
I think they thought their youth was going to help them a little bit more than it has been. I thought that's when they took the captaincies away from a few players. They thought there were some young guys that would step up. It's still Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau's team, and they have 3-year contracts each. And I don't see them moving much. They have to make something because, you know, with Kane going down, I really, and the inconsistency for me in nets for, say, not an inconsistency, maybe not St. Louis goaltending, no one really scares me. The West is wide open.
Ryan Elliott was good, though, last night.
I know. What about
Chicago? Well, we haven't heard from them yet.
I think Vermette's a big ask out of Arizona. They have to replace Patrick Kane. He's just way too offensive. You look up and down the guys that are available, Chris Stewart, Danny Briere, Eric Cole. Antoine.
Plus it makes sense to their cap situation also.
They need a rental.
Because get
next
rid
year,
of someone, get
Taves
rid of some
and
salary.
Kane kick in at a lot of bacon each. So that's going to be quite... Are we done?
No more
yelling about the Leafs?
We're finger cooking lunch today.
Yeah.
Finger cooking. We ordered online at bostonpizza.com. Over 100 delivery items to choose from at Boston Pizza. I got the tacos today.
I got chicken wings.
Chicken wings?
I love chicken. Salt and pepper chicken wings.
That's why you have a body like a milk bag. Throw a vegetable in there.
Is chicken wing not a vegetable?
What do you order?
There's carrots on the side.
I got some steak and vegetables.
Do you guys hear about this reported fight in the Chicago Blackhawks dressing room yesterday? No truth to it. They did have their first team meeting, apparently, in 7 years. But the reports of a fight were grossly exaggerated. We were going to have a fight during our first intermission.
We're good.
Today.
It was solid. I thought you guys were okay. I carried you for a lot. I thought you guys pulled in at the end. Congratulations.
We're going to have to get you an inhaler. Your lungs are just burning right now.
I'm tired from that
burning
segment.
You're a bit of a puck hog, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. No one passed it to me before when I used to play, so now that...
Revenge.
Yeah, I got it.
We are on the air Monday morning, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 a.m. Pacific. Day-long coverage of Hockey Central trade deadline on Sportsnet. What will the Toronto Maple Leafs do anymore? How about the Winnipeg Jets? Will they add? Montreal Canadiens have some needs. Mark Bergevin on the clock. We'll talk to you again Monday morning.